Whenever you're ready, Dave.
Intro is running. Hopefully, audio is actually going out.
Looks like. All right, welcome to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Bob McCamey, and he is here on behalf of DrunkDrivingAttorneys.com. Say good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
All right, before we get to him, welcome to UKN Studios. And if you haven't gone to SpiritualWarfareUnit.com, grab your phone, click on SpiritualWarfareUnit.com. Hit the menu, the three lines on the right-hand side. Go down to struggling. If you know anyone that is struggling with alcohol or drug rehabilitation or needs food or clothes or baby formula or looking for a new school, you go down there. You can click on there, and you can help someone that you care about, and you can be the part of the Spiritual Warfare Unit in the change. All right, Bob, so we have not had you here in a little while. How you been doing?
Good, real good.
Yeah, so you are here on behalf of DrunkDrivingAttorneys.com, right?
Yes, that's right.
All right. And what is your function with those guys? You're just affiliate, associated? What's going on?
I'm the president. I started it from scratch. It's okay. A website of, it's a directory of attorneys and treatment centers nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here trying to promote some of the attorneys that we have locally and some of the treatment centers that can help people get their lives restored and get back on the road.
So this is a nationwide conglomerate of people that can help people going through alcohol.
It's a directory of attorneys and treatment centers for each state.
For each state.
And okay. People across the United States can, you know, go to find an attorney near you or a treatment center near you to get treatment or get help for your DUI or any kind of help. That a lot of the attorneys do several different practice fields. So
all right.
You might find somebody if you're in trouble for drugs, drinking.
Gotcha.
I have a whole list. And
so tell people why they would want to have a lawyer given that circumstance.
Well, most people don't change as long as you're comfortable. So
Right. Good
people sometimes make bad mistakes.
Right.
And you might get in trouble for a DUI. You may have a few too many, or it may be a persistent problem where you get a lot of DUIs, but nobody can really talk themselves out of it.
Yeah.
And in order to get the best deal that you can, you need good representation. And I think that the attorneys here that I'm talking about today are very good representation.
Mm-hmm.
And the treatment centers are all the people are locally based, and I think they give their all to helping people see or discover their part in the problem.
Got it. So that is DrunkDrivingAttorneys.com, right?
Yes.
So if you guys want to take a look at that, or if you know someone who's struggling with that needs a lawyer, go ahead and scope those guys out while we're going through our story here. So last time you were here, on behalf of a different group, and we kind of got in their story, but we weren't able to kind of get your story, right, your history. So how did the DUI, because you got several, right?
I got two. I should have probably had 50.
That's right.
In the day, they would let you go, pour out your booze.
All right. So let's. How many times were you let go before you actually got one?
Oh, geez.
Like if you're just guessing.
10.
Okay. So it was something that the people were aware of, and you just were able to walk yourself out of it. Oh, buddy, I'm just a little.
Everyone was aware but me. Admitting it just made it unanimous. So everybody else knew I had a problem long before I did.
It was unanimous minus you before that.
So it's like that.
That's funny. So you're doing this. How old were you when this process was starting?
When I was 18, you could drink.
Right.
So I was 33 when I had my last drink. I'm 64 now.
Okay.
I think that in some ways I was young to get sober. In other ways I was old. I think it's all about just for today.
Right. So you're 18. You're working when you're 18? You're working at the shop?
19 I hired in General Motors, yeah.
19, okay. So you're just being a young kid. 18-year-olds know nothing.
Right.
And but even though we all thought we knew everything, you know, the amount of information you lose from 17 to 30 is massive, right? Go from knowing everything to knowing nothing, right? So you're doing this. You're basically just hanging out with your buddies, mm-hmm. going to the bar, drinking, hanging out, coming home, and this became the routine.
Absolutely.
So that routine became a habit, which produced the outcomes of whatever. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you were 18 when you first started with your DUIs, that puts you...
Well, no, actually, I was in my 20s the first time I got a DUI.
All right, well, how old were you when you actually got busted the first time?
I think the first time where I actually had a record, I was around 25.
Okay, so you're hammered down for like 7 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, 17 and 25.
And then I didn't quit. I didn't get sober till I was 33.
All right, so hold on, back up. So what happened with the first DUI process? Like, explain that to me. So you got in trouble. They said, we're not going to let you go. You go to jail. They drunk tank you?
They drunk tanked me. I hated that.
Oh, everybody hates that.
I hated that.
Smells really good, right?
But I didn't learn.
Yeah.
I didn't learn. It was just I did what I had to do to get out of it. And then.
All right. So when you say that, let's explain this part. What did you have to do to get out of that? Like, what was the – so you go down there. You're in with a bunch – it's a stinky. It smells – Right.
Right.
And so what was the process? Did you call your parents? Did you call your wife?
I called a girl I had been dating, and that was it. After she got me out, that was it.
She was done with you.
We were done then.
Okay.
I think that I was always ashamed to call my parents. I never wanted them involved in any of my bad mistakes. You know?
Right. This is the part I kind of want to get to because you knew, and you didn't want them to know because you want to pretend, even though everybody knew. So everybody's pretending with you that it's okay, but everyone's pretending. There's like everyone knows you have a
problem. I think my.
Like, when did they sit you down and go, listen, was it after the first DUI?
Oh, it was a long list of things.
All right. Because really what I'm trying to get to is like. You know how they have an intervention, everybody sits you down and says, listen, you got, like, when did that happen?
On my second DUI.
So hold on, we'll get to that.
Okay.
All right, so we're on the first DUI, you go to the drunk take, you get your girlfriend to get you out, then what happened? Like, what's the process that someone's going to go through?
Well, at that time, the laws were a lot more lenient.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my attorney that I was working doubles in the shop,
mm-hmm.
and that meant that I needed some kind of restricted license between 6 in the morning and 5 in the morning.
Right.
So I didn't learn anything. I was still at the bar, closing the bar down, partying in the bar parking lot.
So you went to the court, you got a restricted license, which meant that you were allowed to work from 5 a.m.?
6 a.m. to 5 a.m., which sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. But
right, and then you just were able to go to the bar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long was that process, like, once you got in front of the judge? Like,
I think I had to do that for, it was either 6 months or a year. It's been a long time, so I don't
know. So you're going, that's fine.
Yeah.
So you're going to in front of the judge and saying, yeah, I'm doing what you're telling me, but you're just doing whatever you want.
I had not owned my problem at all. All
right. And what years was this? 83,
84, somewhere around there, yeah.
So in 83, 84, you go into the system. Because you're functioning, they just, you could pay the money, you paid your fines. Yes, sir, I did a good job, sir.
Yeah.
And I go to the next thing. So you're in your mid-20s when that happened. Of course, mm-hmm. relationship's done.
Yeah.
All right. And so, and then that continued. And then how long was it between that one and the next one?
It was 33.
So you went another,
yeah,
like 8 years.
And there was times in between there where I'd get pulled over and they'd let me go. I didn't ever have to, I never had
like,
to,
how did you get out of it? Like,
like I'm a 2 blocks from my house. I've only had a couple, all the same old stories. I
mean, really? You just walked yourself out of it, huh?
I got lucky. I got lucky. And I, now looking back, I'm not sure it was luck or not because I never had to own it. And really, I think the bottom line for most alcoholics is whether you go to AA, whether you go in therapy, whether you go to church, it's all about learning how to own your own.
So would you say as if someone was a officer, is it more wise to go, look, I'm clipping you. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the right answer there? That's a tough one, right?
I don't think today there is a right answer. I think you're going to blow, and if you blow dirty and you blow over the limit, you're in trouble.
What is it, 0.08? Is that one? Yeah. So you're 0.081, that's it, huh?
Yeah.
And they got to stick to that line, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's because they were lenient with it before? I mean,
I think that public safety really came into effect, and I think MAD and FAN and other groups like that were a real waker-upper.
Yeah.
To let people know that, you know, people are dying out there because people are getting behind the wheel drunk.
Right. So, all right, so now you go through that process. You were in the process for about a year, and then after that year, like, you were good enough to get off it. You got your full license back, and you just went back to your normal life.
Yeah.
Work, party, sleep, repeat. That's basically what you're doing.
Absolutely it.
Until
How'd you know that?
I can't confirm or deny. I was just, you know, taking a shot, so being a young man and all. So you did that until you were 33. And then what happened at 33?
I got my second DUI,
mm-hmm.
and things were a little more strict then. Not as strict as they are now, but they were strict. And
so this would be late 80s, early 90s?
1990.
Okay.
I held off my conviction until 91, but I got caught in 90.
Okay.
So at that time, I had an attorney named Shaker Brackett. He's dead now, but he was like a fatherly type.
And okay.
We were downtown, and we were walking back from one of the court hearings, and he said, you know, Bob, maybe you got a problem. You just don't realize it. I thought, you know, you're full of it.
And you're I got this.
I just wanted to get rid of him. And
yeah.
So, or at that point.
Yeah.
And so after I parted ways with him that day, I went to my usual bar,
mm-hmm.
and I started thinking about it. You know, my ex-wife had told me I had a problem. My brother had told me a problem. My mom and dad had told me I had a problem. Work wasn't happy with me, and I started getting curious about how other people lived without, you know, drinking all the time. So,
right.
My attorney had said, you know, well, maybe treatment will help you, and it'll definitely help your case, but maybe it will help you.
Yeah.
So I got curious, do I have a problem? And
like, you legitimately were like, I don't have an issue. Like, this is how people live and everything's good.
I didn't know. I didn't know any better.
Yeah, because you've been doing it since 18.
Yeah.
Right? Since you're an adult, this is what adults do. Mm-hmm. No kidding.
So I decided to check myself into Insight.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into Insight for 30 days. And while I was in there, I had a therapist named John Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
John and I got pretty tight. John's no longer with us either, but John had that uncanny ability to get right at the heart of your problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day we were talking, and I was kind of sloped down in my chair a little bit, and he goes, you have low self-esteem? And I sat up like I was somebody, and I says, no. He goes, well, then, if you think so much of yourself, why do you keep putting yourself in the same position? What could I say? So every day, John would make a list of all the different areas of my life, work, family, spiritual, which I know you can relate to,
yeah,
health, money, legal, and each day I would write down something new under each one of those categories to see that my problem had progressed. And after a week of doing that, I didn't have to ask anymore. Am I an alcoholic? It was right in front of me by my own answers.
So based off the question he's asking, there's no way to deny.
Yeah.
Wow. And that, how long did that, you said 30 days?
I was in treatment for 30 days. It took me about a week to really see he used that mirror approach to have me see my own problems for myself.
Well, that's a perfect place to take a break. If you haven't gone to Spiritual Warfare Unit on our podcast and like, share, and subscribe, you're going to do that at the break, and we'll be right back with Bob.
I'm taking a quick break from our podcast. I wanted to let you know about our life application program that we have for churches and nonprofits in the area that are trying to find programming that they can use in case the corona shuts you down and you're not able to get in. You go to spiritualwarfareunit.com, you click on our episodes, and you can check out our programs for as little as $29.99 a month to make sure that we're still getting the word out to those people that need it. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Mr. Bob McCamey, and he is talking here on behalf of drunk driving attorneys. We had just got to his second DUI, and you were just talking about just starting off in a 30-day rehab. And so explain the rehab experience. So you go in. Now, are you sober? Are you drunk when you go in the day that you go in? Like, what's that process?
I had not drank, which was a miracle for me at that time, for, a couple days, three days before that, which now I don't know if you'd be eligible because you wouldn't be under the influence.
Right.
At that point, you could get in residential in that manner.
Okay.
And I didn't know really what to expect. Mm-hmm. I heard all these people talking about the cure.
The cure. And
I knew that I trusted Shaker Brackett, my attorney.
Yeah.
I got to trust John Kerr, my therapist.
Yeah.
So between my attorney and my treatment provider, I felt good about going forward.
So did you go like through withdrawals? Did you have a roommate?
I had a couple of roommates. And,
okay. How was that?
It was good. Actually, it was
really
good. You know, I was very lucky. One of the guys, and I, for obvious reasons, I won't, mention names, but one of the guys I was in treatment with, we got out, and he found out that he had cirrhosis of the liver.
Wow. And how old was he?
He was around 50 at that time.
Wow. Okay.
And
young.
They told him that very young. They told him that he had about 30 days to live, and I thought, 30 days, I mean, they caught it late.
Yeah.
So almost 30 days to the day he died, and that was like a real awakening, like, ooh.
Like, this is a really real problem.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it hit home.
Okay, so you go through, like, the 30 days. Then what happens? Like, you go to the 30-day, and you dry out, and you go through these classes, and then what happens?
What's the next step? Out. I went to meetings on a daily basis. I hung out at a place called the Eric Club, and there was always people down there that had a lot of sobriety. It was good fellowship. You know, you could sit around and play euchre, mm-hmm. Kind of shoot the crap with them. And it was a good place to be able to make new friends, have mm-hmm. something else to do, go to meetings, and have a different environment than what I was used to.
All right, and so that's something you did weekly, daily?
Daily.
Daily?
Daily, yeah, daily.
Okay, and how long did you do that for?
Oh, 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
I attended the Air Club. I was a volunteer down there. I was on the board down there. I was lucky that my mentors there all did service work.
Okay.
And that was huge for me,
Define service work, so people
know. Giving back.
Okay. Giving back to the community, helping out, volunteering time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so everybody was strong in that, mm-hmm. in their own little element, whether it would be helping out other alcoholics or working with some kind of nonprofit or mm-hmm. going to the jail and talking with people.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky that I was in a place where I was surrounded by people that were smarter than me.
It's always a good place to be, right?
Yeah.
I tell that to my producer all the time. I'm like, thank God, thank God you're here. That's why I call him the Great and Powerful Oz. Like, he's got to do things and hit buttons and make stuff move. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing any of those.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. Isaac, you're a very smart guy.
I don't know. I got to get you the paperwork. So you're doing this, and you're in your mid-30s, so you're 2-3 years in sober, and like – was there a defining moment where you're like, yeah, this is what I like. I like this. Like this. Like what happened there?
I decided I was going to go back to college. Mm-hmm. I went back to college. I got a degree. I was a therapist for a long time. Then I was an EAP at the truck plant for a long time. And I got to
EAP?
EAP, Employee Assistance Professional.
What's that mean?
It's somebody that is in each GM plant has a – the union in the plant has positions where they appoint people that are qualified mm-hmm. to put people in treatment, to help them with financial resources.
So you're looking for
mental health.
So the union actually has people that are hired to help people with these issues that you dealt with.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you were a referral.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you were a referral person for any kind of behavioral health problem.
So you're looking at the dudes that were trying to hide all the things you were hiding. And then you were like, hey, man, okay. So some of those confrontations had to be not positive. In my mind, I see you going, hey, buddy, you know, you might want in there. I don't have a problem. Like, you know what I mean?
I guess.
Because you'd know exactly what to look for.
I tried to use the same tools that helped me, the mirror approach. How is your using impacting your work? I mean.
Yeah.
Your family,
yeah.
Your legal life, your health, your spirituality. You can do whatever you want as long as you know what you're getting into. You can go ahead and do it. But if you're not willing to be accountable for it, then maybe we need to get you some help. What do you think?
And that worked?
Like, sometimes it did. Sometimes it, I think it with treatment it, you're planting seeds.
Right. You don't know which one's going
to
grow.
You know, we also were lucky enough to have both salary and hourly people that were very supportive of having meetings in the plant. So we would have meetings every day at lunchtime, sport group meetings, and people that wanted to come down and get help and, you know, share their problems. There was somebody there for them every day, and we had big groups.
Wow.
And it turned out to be a really fun and good thing.
No kidding. Yeah. That's amazing. So you're how old when this is happening? You said the 2-3 years. So you're doing this at year 2 or 3?
No. I was probably in my 40s before I got that job.
Oh, okay. So we're talking like a decade. So for like 10 years, you're going through the sober process and learning and educating yourself.
Right.
And producing an outcome mm-hmm. where you can give back. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. So after your early 40s, like, when did you start, like, creating these, sitting on these boards like you did for drunk driving attorneys and creating that stuff that comes in there? And, like, how did that process start?
I wanted someplace where I started drunkdrivingattorneys.com because I wanted to be able to connect people like me mm-hmm. that had drinking, drug issues with treatment providers and help them see their part in the problem, and not only to have some see their part in the problem, but it also made a, if you can make a case to yourself that you have a problem and do something about it, it's easier to make a case to the judge.
Right.
And it's easier for your lawyer to make a case for you. So I think that whenever you can make a case for yourself that, I've got an issue, and you're honest with your attorney and your attorney can, you know, fight for you, they know, I think most authority figures like change and remorse.
Right. So if you, what you're saying, if I'm hearing what you're saying correctly, is like they will, if someone's going into a situation, they realize, oh, gosh, I screwed up. The judge will work with somebody better in that position than someone's like, that's my lawyer, you just deal with it. That's what you're saying?
Right.
And so you want to create the latter before the former.
I also worked, I started drunk driving attorneys, but after that I also worked on the Genesee County Sobriety Court team,
mm-hmm.
and you got to see people grow during that process. And I think that the Genesee County Sobriety Probation Department, and the judges that are involved in that, the attorneys that help out in that process are just a number one.
I feel like they're really supportive of people trying to get
they
healthy.
Want people to
they
succeed.
Want you to get healthy.
Yeah,
they're not just trying to whack you.
Right.
Yeah, I believe that because it's amazing, like having guys come in there and then it's like you see him again and then you see it, and it's like how many times do you think the judge is gonna, you know, how many times right. your probation officer you're gonna be like, hey, you know, and it's like, do you want to blow and go on your car? Like is that the life you want to live, right? And I've had family members that struggle with that stuff to this day too, and one of the issues was finding a lawyer. That was like, yeah, I'll take that. That was actually an issue.
Yeah.
And so having this is a preset condition for someone who's struggling and they're aware of that struggle, right? That's what
right.
these guys, and this is what they're here for. Is
that's
to help people
expertise.
Struggle with that.
Yep.
All right. And do you find that people that do the DUI specifically have a, like, what if you could tell me the difference between someone who was just a lawyer that was going to help you through the situation and someone who was specific to this. Like, what would be the main differences that you could see with your guys versus just getting a lawyer that would help you with the DUI?
They know the process. They know the process of the law.
Mm-hmm.
They know once you get if you get two DUIs, you're 99.9% of the time, you're going to lose your license. And so at some point.
And how long do you lose it for, do you know?
I think every case is different. You might lose it for a year.
Wow.
If you went through sobriety court, you might get it back a little quicker with a blow device. But
mm-hmm.
You take the risk of getting in a lot of trouble. And if you get a third DUI, you put yourself in the position to be a felon. You may get
right.
an attorney that gets you reduced down, but you may not.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter whether you consider yourself unlucky or an alcoholic. If you get a third DUI, you could be a felon.
Right. So is that the reason why you have treatment centers on the website for the lawyers?
It helps the lawyers, but it helps the people.
Okay.
I mean, that's what helped me.
So explain what you mean. Like, you put that on there so people can go and find them?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. I think the community is only as good as its members.
Right.
And if you can get somebody that's got a substance use disorder, you can get that person help. They're a better family person. They're a better worker.
Sure.
They're safer on the road. And really, the number one reason that people get in trouble is because they're hindering other people's public safety.
Mm.
And so when you hinder other people's public safety, it becomes a real issue. And helping people see that, or helping people discover that they may have a problem, mm-hmm. it helps them see so they are better in all those different areas of their life. And having an attorney that can process that and maybe a lot of times when you lose your license, you have to go through an appeal process
right.
to get it back through the Secretary of State. The
right.
judge can say, I'm going to give you your license back, but the Secretary of State has the final word.
Mm-hmm.
And so having an attorney that's familiar with the appeal process, that can find somebody that can do a good substance abuse evaluation,
mm-hmm.
and showing you all the steps that you have to do to get your life and your license back on track is crucial to your success.
Because there's a bunch of them.
There's three or four I'd really like to talk about today.
Yeah.
And they all have listings on drunkdrivingattorneys.com.
Mm-hmm.
I also have another website called driverslicenserestorers.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they also help people out. And a lot of the same attorneys that I'm going to talk about today are local people who know the process, who know the system, and are very good at helping people with the appeal process to help them get their license back.
All right. That is a perfect time to take a break. So if you haven't gone and checked out drunkdrivingattorneys.com, you can hit that on the break. Go to our podcast on YouTube, Spiritual Warfare Unit. Like, share, and subscribe. We will be right back.
people that are talking about breaking the rules use their fingers to speak to each other. And that's what gangs do to communicate from point A to point B. It's almost like this has been in the Bible for 2,000 years. And people feel like it's a new thing. That is unbelievable, isn't it? That things that are happening in your life today are in here from 2,000 years ago. That's very weird. You love me too much and let me stay this way.
Jesus, there's freedom in your name. Alright. Welcome back to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Bob McCamey with DrunkDrivingAttorneys.com, and you were just getting into some people that you wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah, I have a few attorneys I want to promote today. I think they're all real credible people.
So I just want to get this. I want to get this out there. You attorneys that you like that's not normally a good thing. Normally they're like an attorney, you know. So these are the creme of the creme. Huh?
I think they are.
So who's the first?
The first one is Matt Norwood. He's okay. In Genesee County. He's in the Mott Foundation building.
Okay.
Building. He's very good at driver's license issues. He's very good at criminal defense for drunk driving and operating while you're intoxicated. He does a variety of other things. You can find his listing on drunkdrivingattorneys.com. Uh-huh. Find out what all he does. You can also go to his website. But his work number is 810-235-4639. All right. That's Matt Norwood.
So what makes him your number one pick?
He's not my number one.
Oh, well, you picked him first.
Well, he's the one I'm talking about first, but I think all four are pretty adept at handling all
these situations. Are all your first round picks?
These are all my first round picks, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
The second person I'd like to talk about is Justin Henry.
Okay.
Justin's phone number is 810-694-1211. He's located in Grand Blanc next to the courthouse, which makes it really convenient because he's just walk out his door and he can be there for your court hearing.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Justin is good in a variety of ways. He's very good at appeals. He's also very good at, he also does a lot of family law.
Okay.
And so I think there's the DUI trickle-down effect.
Right.
Which, you know, a lot of times somebody gets a DUI, they've created a situation at home where there's a divorce. Now they need a family attorney.
Losing all that stuff.
There may be a situation where they get in an accident. Now they need a personal injury attorney.
Right.
They may blow all their money as a result of their lifestyle, and then they need a bankruptcy attorney. So, you know, there's that trickle-down effect that if you get one person and he has other practice areas and you have a rapport with him, then it works out very well. And Justin, being a criminal defense and a family law attorney, has helped a lot of people in our area.
All right, who's your number three?
Number three is Shelley McFarlane. She also works directly with Sobriety Court, and she's got a soft touch, but she's got a big bat, and I think she's very good at getting things done.
Okay.
And her number is 810-820-9860.
Okay.
And the fourth person is Jay Clothier, and he's also in the Mott Foundation building.
Okay.
His number is 810-767-0024. And Jay is very good at DLAD work, which means Driver's License Appeal Division. He's very good at going before the hearing officer and getting things done.
Mm-hmm.
And also, until July 15th, Jay is giving new clients 10% off, which doesn't sound like a lot, but 10% can be a few tanks of gas in your gas tank anymore, you know?
Yeah, right.
So that's my top four.
Okay.
As far as treatment goes, if somebody was to get into treatment, there's a few treatment people in the community I think would be very good for people who need help.
All right, and so the process that you went through at Insight is what we're talking about as far as treatment. The 30-day process?
It could be, well, your level of use determines your level of care.
All right, what does that mean, level of use?
If I'm using once in a while and I get in trouble, I need a therapist once a week.
I gotcha.
If I'm using two or three times a week and it's affecting a couple areas of my life, I may need IOP, intensive outpatient, where I go every afternoon for a few hours. Mm. Or if I'm using like me and I'm affecting my work, my family, my legal life,
yeah,
everything,
yeah,
I may need residential treatment.
All right, and by residential means in-house like you were doing.
In-house.
All right, so who does those kind of things?
Well, here in Genesee County, we have we have a few different places. New Pass is very good for residential and for outpatient and IOP.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Odyssey House. Mm-hmm. We also have Salvation Army. And then if you need to kind of get out of town a little bit and have excellent residential service, Skywood Recovery Center. Okay. I didn't write down Salvation Army, New Paths, Odyssey House phone number, but I do have Skywood. And in Skywood, you can get hold of Scott Macy, M-A-S-I.
Okay.
Scott is just the premier person to refer you to the kind of treatment that you need.
All right.
Skywood has it all. And Scott's, I don't have his personal cell right here. I have to look at my cell phone.
Probably good we don't have his personal cell. I know you said it was okay.
No, Scott asked me to give out his personal cell, and on the next break,
I'll get it.
I'll get it.
All right, so speaking to Scott and Skywood, like what makes it the super, like first of all, where is it located? Like,
it's in the western part of the state.
Okay.
And Skywood also has, they're an affiliate, and they have probably throughout the United States, they have 10 other centers, maybe by different names.
Right. So affiliates. What makes them so, like, what makes them so good? Like you said, great. That
they means. they have the ability to be able to treat mental health and mm-hmm. substance use disorders.
Is that a common duality?
It's not always common, but it can be. And okay. I think a lot of times if somebody suffers from anxiety or depression, they get in that state of mind that makes them more vulnerable to using.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put themselves in a position where they're not thinking clearly.
Right.
And they make mistakes. So
right.
If you can get help for dual disorders, co-occurring disorders, I think it's always a plus.
All right. And how long do they have, like 30-day, 90-day, 180? Like
That would depend on your insurance. Everybody's insurance is different.
Okay.
I think one of the first things when somebody gets into treatment is to find out what your insurance will cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to know going into the situation.
Do they do that?
Yeah, they can do that. They can sort of, all the places that I've named can, if they take insurance,
mm-hmm.
they can run a check and certify what your insurance will cover, what it won't.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, your best avenue or best options afterwards. And lawyers like that. Lawyers like to be able to have some place where they can have people get help.
Mm-hmm.
And all the lawyers that I have here are very helpful in getting they support treatment.
So those guys, just so I have clarity, do they work with like the UCANs and the FANs and the sobriety support programs? Like
some of them do, some of them don't.
Okay.
Some of them may. It just depends on the person.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are more spiritual based than others.
Yeah, because I found that the network between these don't exist. Like the lawyers, the court, sobriety court, the outreach, the patient programming, the spiritual longevity training, all of that. The network does. Like all these things exist. It's like having a bunch of little kingdoms, and all the kingdoms exist, but the networks of each other communicating is what we're working on here. That's what we're trying to do.
That was our goal with drunkdrivingattorneys.com, to be right. able to connect people who need it, to be able to get help, to get better,
mm-hmm.
to be able to make a better case to themselves so their attorney can make a better case to the judge so they can prevention is always cheaper than correction. And right. if, you know, you can stop. Bottom's where you quit digging the hole.
Right.
You can quit digging it after two DUIs or five DUIs. It's up right. to you, but it'll be better for you, better for other people, better for the public if
right.
you recognize your problems early on and get help for it.
All right. Was there anybody else you wanted to wanted to hit up real quick?
We've still got
some other time.
But yeah, I'd like to get Scott's phone number out of my phone.
We're going to get that in the next session. All right, that's the only worry?
I think so, yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
All right, so because I want to get back to your story.
Okay.
So you're in your early 40s. You're working at the plant. You're what's it called again for the shop?
EAP.
EAP. Mm-hmm. So you're an EAP, which I didn't know they did. I find that very cool. And that was something that you said that the unions and management both were in agreement on.
It's a joint program.
All right, that's cool. Okay, and so you said you were early 40s when you started doing that? Mm-hmm. All right.
Mid-40s probably, yeah.
Mid-43, 44. Yeah, 40. Yeah. Okay. So what happened then? You said you got some big groups and good guys, and then, like, what happened after that? Did that turn into something else, or?
I don't know whether it so much turned into something else.
Like community events, outreaches?
Oh, absolutely. We did a lot of community events.
Give me an example of what the union did. Like, what were you?
Oh, my gosh.
I find that part really interesting.
Local 598 does so much for the community. Probably a good person to get on here would be Ryan Bohalski, the president. Local 598 is definitely a union with the heart, and that's a pretty common way to describe them.
Okay.
One of the functions that we put on every year was the Soberfest.
Okay.
You know, and that's 27 years this year. So, right.
And I love that. I want to cut in, but I'm not going. I love Soberfest because the idea makes the people in the programs the stars for a day, right? With the softball. I'm totally cutting in. But all right, so whose idea, that's where I was trying to get to. Like, where did that come from?
That came from there was two APs at the truck plant, Tom McHale and Manny Velasquez.
Okay.
They came up with it, and they wanted to have an event, and where it brought the community together. I think the first Soberfest, there was maybe 150 to 200 people there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was just a couple sponsors. They had a few hot dogs.
Right.
And then as time went on, now there's a 16-team softball tournament.
Yeah, and the thing that's awesome about that is the people that are going to rehab are the players.
Sometimes,
right?
Yeah.
So when they're going in there and they get to be the star and their kid, like, you know how you're talking about the trickle-down effect, but this is where what you do is cool because family members that are struggling, male or female, they get to go out there and be a part of this, and their kids get to see them. And all these, there's like 5,000 people, and they're rooting them on.
Yeah.
And they get to see, oh, my dad or mom, they did this thing, right?
That's a great way to put it, Isaac.
Yeah, and like, this is why I love it. I just love going out there, and it's dollar hot dogs, dollar pop, dollar chips, everything's a buck, right?
Yeah.
And it's packed, and it's typically hot, and it's awesome, right? And you're going out there and all day, and it's funny how serious it's funny how serious it gets, man. And the whole vibe of it is so cool. And like, so you were in the middle of all of that, right? So this is the early mid 90s then.
This was
when you were
probably later into the 2000s where I started chairing it.
Okay. Well, just keep jumping. You're not allowed to jump. So you're doing that. So you're getting a bunch of these people, and that was direct correlation to Soberfest, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So those guys are happening. This is what, mid 90s, late 90s?
Probably the 90s through the 2000s.
Okay. So in the early 2000s. Okay. So
it's still going on. So
Yeah. But you then did what after that? Like late 90s, early 2000s. You're in the UAW doing this, and then you went from there to all the boards and all the things.
Yeah.
What was the next step?
I've been on a few boards, Project Vox. We wrote some grants. We put on a New Year's dance, a tailgate party, same as Partners for Recovery. We put on a couple events.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a lot of fun.
So you're just putting together social events that involve not drinking.
Yeah.
But you can still have a good time.
I think people need to know. I was lucky that I had the Eric Club.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of dances at that time, but there was a lot more treatment facilities. There's not as many treatment facilities in Genesee County as there used to be.
Right.
You know, used to be you could go to a dance once a month, once every couple months, and, you know, hang out with people, have a good time. You know, and the events that they have now, I think, are really good. I think we'll have some more events this summer. Soberfest is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Partners for Recovery will have an event probably in September. something to do. We just had a euchre tournament. I think when people are trying...
You had a euchre tournament, and you did not tell me that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
It was great seeing you. We got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, love. Yeah, Michigan thing, clearly. But
so I think...
That's cool.
You know, like in drunkdrivingattorneys.com, whenever you can fill up space, mm-hmm. clean space, it helps you stay clean mm-hmm. to be able to make a better case to get your license back.
Right.
And when you go for your appeal to the Secretary of State, you know, you may meet somebody that would be able to, you have to have letters. You
right.
have to have, you know, 3 to 6 letters. You have to have a AA meeting sheet signed for a year. You know, it helps to have some community events where somebody could write
you. You're creating like a community family of people who have a natural struggle with the same thing. Mm-hmm. So one, they're not feeling by themselves. Two, there's things to go. Okay, so you're working in the shops and you're doing this. So once the early 2000s, how long were you doing that job with the UAW?
Maybe 10 years.
And then what was the next step?
The next step when I got out of there, I did volunteer work for the sobriety court, and then
okay.
I think those were all volunteer services. I had started drunk driving attorneys before that and driverslicenserestorers.com,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to connect people with the resources they needed. I think when we put on the Soberfest, we'd have a lot of people that come out and be volunteers, and I'd write them letters
yeah.
for their driver's license. Like it would not only, you'd have to have support letters stating,
right.
you know, when you saw that person used, but it always helped to have community involvement letters, like mm-hmm. here's Isaac that came out to the Soberfest and helped with the trout pond or
right.
setting up or giving back. It was a good carrot.
So it was a way to help someone both with the community but also with their case.
Yes.
All right. Uh-huh. So we're going to take a break, and when we get back, I want to get into all the different areas of what you're doing and where you're at now, and things are moving forward, and then we'll see what's going from there. So you guys have not gone to drunkdrivingattorneys.com. You got one more chance before the show is over. Please hit spiritualwarfareunit.com, and we will be right back.
Hey, it's Aaron with UCAN. Just out here today at the Valley Area Agency on Aging event, Senior Power Day. It's been really cool. We haven't been in the senior world very long, and I know it always plays a part in our world. So we're here today to connect with that senior community and kind of talk about the proper use, misuse, storage, and disposal of medications, making sure that they're not only are they using them as prescribed, but also disposing them as needed. So we're also bringing a multitude of services here that I'm looking at that allow us to connect and expand on our senior care initiative. So it was twofold: share some information with the seniors that were out here, but also make some connection with those who are servicing the senior community to be able to expand our network of our senior initiative and make some connectivity. So we've met the folks from Valley Area Agency on Aging specifically, have some cool ideas already to work with them. We'll talk to McLaren and Genesee Health Plan as far as the Medicaid sign-ups and things like that. Veterans are here. The Genesee County Services for Veterans is here. So really have some great connectivity going. Good start to our senior care. A great day here. There's a lot of people here. There's been probably 200 to 300 people here. We've been here since 9, so it's been a rewarding event. Most people do look at our table and say addiction and don't look, but there has been those handful that do come over to us and say specifically, hey, can you come to this event or can you come speak to us here or there? And that's kind of what we're after. We're really after the focus on how we can continually expand our reach into this community. So it's been a good day. We look forward to continuing the rest of the day, and we'll circle back again another time. Thanks again.
Yeah. All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. This is our final segment here. So we're here with Bob McAmey, and he's with drunkdrivingattorneys.com. So last chance to kind of try to take a look at that. And he had a number he was looking for Mr. Massey.
Yes.
And that you want to give out, and this is where Skywood
Recovery Center is.
In the western part of the state?
Western part of the state.
All right, and this is his personal number.
This is
dangerous.
I would never, ever give out somebody's cell phone number
without permission.
Permission, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so if it blows up, he's going to be happy.
Yeah. Okay. His cell to get in treatment at Skywood is 810-360-5779.
5779.
810-360-5779. Scott from Skywood Recovery Center.
And this is for people who are needing to get into rehab due to alcohol or drugs?
Drugs or mental health.
Okay. And so when, just for the families, I guess for information, is once their family member realizes that they have an issue, they're going into drug rehabilitation, they're going to alcohol rehabilitation, like what processes or partners do you have for family to help support in that area? Like, I know we focus on spiritual, focus on food, we focus on baby clothes, we focus on schooling. Is there anything that you have as far as your network for that family, as far as the trickle-down effect that you were talking about?
Well, we work pretty closely with Partners for Recovery and FAN.
FAN.
Okay. And FAN is very good at being able to help people, families mm-hmm. against narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
We want the family to get better. A lot of times the family doesn't, and that's why treatment helps so much, mm-hmm. is because, especially if it's family based.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when someone goes into treatment, their significant other might still party.
Mm-hmm.
So that person was trying to stay sober and not get high anymore.
Yeah.
And they'll come home and their wife will be having a drink, or their husband,
yeah.
smoking a joint, whatever. And that's very tempting to him.
Right.
And especially if a guy is trying to stay on the straight and narrow, keep his license, he's got to drop,
yeah.
he's got to adhere to a certain work contract to keep his job.
Right.
We want all the obstacles out of that person's way mm-hmm. to be able to get his life restored.
And how common is it for the significant other to pull him back into that? Is it likely? Does that happen a lot? Or
it happens sometimes. It depends.
Sometimes, okay.
And also, I think that Al-Anon, FAN,
mm-hmm.
Groups like that can help people realize that it's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Al-Anon, FAN, it's a way to learn how to detach and talk about, you know, how that person's using affects me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's crucial to success because a lot of times somebody has a big using issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just it affects their kids. It affects their significant other. It affects their parents. So it's addiction is a family disease. And when
right.
somebody loses their license and doesn't have a good attorney, doesn't have good treatment, then people could struggle forever and it'd just be one endless circle.
And they're just trying to get back to where they already were before.
Yeah.
Because I find once you get into that process, that becomes part of that cycle, right? So like I had family members that like every 10 years without fail, they would get the house, get the girl, job, get the family, and then lose it, and then start over and go through the process. And then once they got everything, they would stop that
yeah.
the substance abuse support because, oh, I got it now, and then they do it again, and then they would do it again. And it was like, I don't understand why, like, you keep losing. It was almost like once they got all the stuff, they didn't know what to do, and they almost knew the process. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it was almost like pulling them out of that.
There's a saying that says, the further you get from the last time you used, the closer you get to the next time if you forget what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having a little rewind tape in your head to remember, you know, going to jail, you know, sitting in that, I'll never forget the last time I went to jail, my car got impounded, I'm pawning stuff to get out of it. I don't forget that.
Yeah.
You know, and the closer I keep, if I think I can use, I need to remember that like right now in a heartbeat.
Remember you lost everything yeah. for that.
And, you know, I think that, you know, your group is called Spiritual Warfare.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good, I love that name. Spiritual Warfare is like probably one of the best names anybody could have came up with because I think that what helps a lot of people is praying for the desire to have the desire not to use anymore. And,
right.
And God, Jesus, you know, your higher
yeah.
power
yep.
are really things that can help increase your ability to make good choices, to not put yourself in a position to get in trouble.
Right. And this is, you know, we don't normally talk about ourselves that much, honestly, because this show is about you guys and community. But really, it's about the spiritual longevity. Because once you go through those things, that's why I want to talk about the process, the 30 days in, and then what was it like in the drunk tank and that process. Because once they get out, a lot of times they'll lose a job, right? So then they got to find a job that's making less money. And then the stresses of the financial comes in, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, where do we go to get that? And what kind of community supports somebody with a past? You know, if it's not going to be your local church, you know what I mean? And then who's it going to be? And so finding the churches that are like, yeah, you know, come as you are, you know, and we're going to help you. And here's some food, and here's some clothes, and here's some baby formula. And by actions, not by words, tell them, oh, we're love, but the actions of helping people. And that's why I have you on, is because you're an action guy. And when I call you and I say, hey, can I get something done? You get it done today. And we want that spiritual longevity for us once someone's gone through that process where that ball gets handed off and they're like, okay, well, they need this, this, and this, and now that football can get handed off for their life. And so the community outreach, just not just the sober programs, not just the food programs, but also that spiritual community that is there to say, yeah, we understand that you make mistakes. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, we made them too, and the difference between you and I is maybe I got talked my way out of one more than you did, and you got busted and I didn't. That maybe that's just the difference.
Maybe.
You know? And I don't wanna ever let people go through this situation and think that there's people that don't care for them, don't love them, because you have a real passion for this.
I think whether you get help from drunkdrivingattorneys.com or Spiritual Warfare, Partners for Recovery, FAN, any of those groups.
Yeah, you can.
I think you can. It's been huge in this county.
Yep.
I think that you learn how to own your own. And I think that that helps you get back on track and stay more focused on what's going on. I just got to do this today and I'll be okay.
Right.
You know, I think time management is everything. And if you can fill up your time with positive things.
Yep. Because if you got a hole, you're going to fill it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Like my wife will tell me, being in a car accident and being disabled. So, well, why are you leaving the house? I said, honey, that time has got to be filled with something. Because if I don't fill it, all of those negative thoughts like to come in.
Sure.
Know? And they like to tell you why you're bad and what you're doing. And if you can fill it with, especially helping people, like helping people is the best depression fight of all time, you know?
Oh,
because you can go
that.
To one of these events and you look at these families that come out and you're giving their dollar hot dog or you're handing out whatever, you know, and you see it and you're like, man, I struggled, but that I'm not in that position, you know, and that helps people. And that's what you do all the time. And the people that you promote do that. And that's, I love being a part of that process. Does that make sense?
I think everybody concerned today, whether it be you, and you're a solution focused guy, Isaac, you really are. And all the attorneys that we talked about,
yeah.
The treatment centers that we talked about, the events that are going on, those are all solution focused.
Right.
And I think once we discover that we have a problem, then it's time to focus on the solution.
Right.
And I think finding, you know, treatment, finding an attorney that can help you is the quickest way to get to the solution to help you get your life back on track.
I think it's the first necessary step after the mistake, right?
Yes.
And it's the very first step to get there, to go from mistake to solution in a path that's going to be successful for that person, right?
As a chaplain at the jail for years, you know, you probably saw so many people that struggled because they didn't get help. Luckily, they had you to help, you know, get them on the right track.
Yeah. Yeah, the process, though, is they just, like, you know how you said the reason why I asked those questions, what was it like when you went in drunk tank? I asked that, you said, I just want to get out of there, right? Yeah. The reason why I asked that question is because that was the answer for most of my guys. I just want to get out of here. Just whatever I got to do, just get out of here, and then I'll pretend this, and then this is over. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not how any of this works, guys. Like, you're just going to go back to the same scenario, produce the same decisions to produce the same outcome, and then you're going to see, we're going to see over and over and over again. And to get them to understand that was the thing. And so that's why drunkdrivingattorneys.com, you go there, it's the first step to do the right thing after making a series of wrong mistakes, right?
That's right.
Bob, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you having on here. I love providing solutions. As you said, I'm solution driven. I enjoy conflict is just a precursor to resolution, and I love resolution.
Oh, I like
so,
that.
So, like, I enjoy everything you're doing. If you have not gone, make sure you write it down. So if everybody's got family members that struggle with something, drunkdriverattorneys.com. He gave us his top four guys. He gave the number. If you want to revisit this show because you didn't write it down, go to Spiritual Warfare Unit on YouTube. We will have it up shortly. And
also, Isaac, one last thing. You can call me at 810-620-6044.
Okay.
Or 810-255-1100. Those are both numbers to get a hold of drunk driving attorneys and driver's license restorers.
So driver's license restorers.
DriversLicenseRestorers.com and DrunkDrivingAttorneys.com. Those are the two contact phone numbers to get a hold of me or one of the other team members that can help people out.
That's perfect, Bob. Thank you so much for coming in, and we will see you guys next week.
Thanks, Isaac.
You have a nonprofit in your area that's doing a lot of work that people should know about? Feel free to contact Spiritual Warfare Unit at 810-715-9319, and we would love to have them on to see what good they're doing in the community and find out their story. Thank you so much.
Freedom.